Fellowship Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us. Our passage is going to come from Mark chapter 14. We are going to pick up in verse 3 and go through verse 9. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." I'm sure this is a familiar passage for most of you, and I want to kind of start with the big principle, and then we'll break down how the story supports that. And the big principle here is Jesus is the highest good. Jesus is the greatest treasure. God, specifically, in this passage, God the Son, is the most worthy of worship and praise and devotion. You have a similar story where Mary and Martha are at the house and Jesus is there teaching. And Martha is all worried about getting dinner ready for everyone, and she resents Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet. And she tells this to Jesus, and Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is greater, and it will not be taken away from her. The same thing is happening here. You have some men, some religious leaders, who look down on this woman for, quote-unquote, wasting this very valuable treasure by putting it on Jesus' head. And Jesus says to them, You guys got it backwards. Sure, we could give it to the poor, you know, as an aside. They were not concerned about the poor. They were concerned about something of great wealth. And if you know who took care of the money for Jesus, Judas was very often lining his pockets with the money from the bag. So we probably have some people who are saying that wealth could have been used for something better, i.e., given to me. And instead, this woman decides to break it and in a moment anoint all of it onto Jesus. Now, our application is the same. Nothing is wasted that is poured out for Jesus, for his glory, for his worship, for his anointing. Even, let's take this at face value. Let's say that they did want to take this money and give it to the poor. That's all well and good. This is a good thing. You know, Jesus talks about that which is done for the least of these, you have done for me. In the Old Testament, we see God as the one who looks after the widow, looks after the fatherless, looks after the least of these. And in the New Testament, Jesus picks up this theme and tells us to go and do likewise. We should look out for those. But when social justice issues become more important than the worship of Jesus, we get things upside down. Many of us have sort of these, you know, heart ministries that become the most important way that we worship or the most important thing that we do ministry through. But at the moment that these good things become more important than the worship of the Savior, we, like the people in the story, get things upside down. We will always have poor people to give to. We will always have worship services to plan. We will always have coffee to make and cards to write and whatever the case may be. But when that thing becomes an end in itself and not a means of worship to God, we get things upside down. Now, I don't think it is a coincidence that the very next story that we have in Mark 14 is Judas betraying Jesus. Right after this, Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. This is idol worship at work. When the thing became more important to him, money, than Jesus was, it causes us to do sinful, idolatrous, you know, treasonous things to our Savior. So we always want to make sure that, like in the parable of the pearl of great price, we are ready to give up everything for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of knowing our Savior, of loving and worshiping Him, that we would pour out our lives, many costly things that, yes, could be invested in other things, but first and foremost, go into the worship of our Savior. When we look at our calendars, when we look at our schedules, when we look at our budgets, is most of these things going to satisfy our own desires, to pet causes that may not first and foremost be worship to God? Or are they going to things to build the kingdom of God, to bring Him glory, to make Him look great, and not ourselves? Lord, we thank You for Your word, which is a double-edged sword, dividing bone and marrow. God, that it reveals to us what our hearts are doing. And sometimes they're doing things, it's deceitfully wicked, that we don't even know about. So, Lord, we pray that You would use Your word to reveal to us the areas that we are putting things above You. Sometimes very good things, but they are not the ultimate thing. You are. Your worship, Your glory, Your praise, and Your honor are first and foremost. God, show us the areas in our lives where we're not living this way, and help us to make practical changes. For Your glory and our good, we ask. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.